Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. We have been discussing success for quite some time. And what we need to do is look at a different aspect of it. As we have spoken before, success is based on what we as an individual see as being successful. Some of us have different definitions. Does not mean that anyone is wrong. Because our ideas of success are just that, our ideas of success. They can be well received, but we need to pursue them. I do a blog show, also a blog post, amazingblackhistory.com. And the focus of today's post was Dr. Alexa Kennedy. And as we see from her, as so many other people, that success often means overcoming hurdles. Hurdles that sometimes are given to us by well-meaning people. Sometimes they are the most devastating comments that we can get because they come from people that we love, people that we can respect. But we have to assure ourselves that we indeed have something to bring to the party. We have free will. We can go along with what we're told, but we don't have to. When we look at our religious beliefs, nobody is forcing them on us. In fact, when I became an adult, that was my first time at freedom from religion. And there were Sundays when I did not go to church. There were Sundays when I had to search for a church. Now, I understand that I am a long ways from home. No, virtually no one in this town. So how do you go about doing that? And it was a fun project in certain ways because I had grown up with those surroundings. But sometimes we have to surround ourselves with like people. And when I say like people, I'm not talking about our identical twin, our doppelganger, or anything like that. But people that share many of the common ideas that we have. I didn't realize the importance of it until much later. I joined the American Chemical Society because I was a chemist. And I found people there that I could relate to. Some people had worked on similar projects. Some had not. But we were dedicated to trying to solve certain problems, some of them similar and some of them not. When I say a like-minded people, we look at success and what is it? And I've used this example many times, and it comes up time and time and time again. And we need to heed this. The friends and people that you are around, are they success-minded? Are they? You may have a person that is interested in operating a transportation company, bus, charter trains, whatever the case may be. And some of these things may look quite different. But there is a commonality of thought train that goes through this. How can a person that is interested in operating a bus company relate to a person who's interested in making cookies, making pies, grass? And when we talk about that, we sometimes grade these ideas, and we grade them on something that is artificial. Quite some time back, I spoke of a person that was a friend of Steve Harvey's. And this man had an intent about himself that he was going to do this. This is what he loved to do. And so he cut grass. He developed a business. But at the time that we spoke about it, he was doing about $1 million in business a day, I mean a year. We don't sometimes see what is taking place. I see people as they work, as they enjoy what, I know people that work in the area of lawn care, landscaping, or what have you. And it brings them a certain sense of joy and pleasure. But we sometimes think too small. We think that we can't do it and turn it on its head. But we are seeing that happen every day, every day, this morning. And I look for stories of people who are making their dreams real. The person that runs Spotify, and those of you that use Spotify may notice some dramatic changes in feel of what is in your hands. I'm not really a Spotify user. I like music, but that's really not my strong suit, so to speak. But he has done well. The company is now poised on a position where it can grow. Now, he put two things that he loved together, music and computers. And some people sometimes can't even see how those can be related. But he did. He had a vision. He had a clear vision. And they have made money. But we're talking about a point of profitability. I remember as I was growing up, and again, have to realize that my surroundings were different than many others. I saw people who had their own construction companies, and they worked as subcontractors. And as a subcontractor, they had something in their hands, and in many cases, they did not know the value of what they had. Let me explain this to you further. As a masonry contractor, you can bid on jobs. And sometimes there were jobs that they could have handled, but they did not bid on them because, one, they didn't know about them. Two, they didn't know how large they were. They didn't see the potential of what they had right in their hands. I spoke recently because I'm doing a series on women, black women that we should all know. And when I talk about Clara Brown, Clara Brown was essentially denied an education, yet she became very wealthy. She went to Colorado during a time when blacks were suppressed, not like unlike today. It's just different surroundings, a different level of sophistication and what have you. But at the age of 60, she essentially walked from St. Louis to Denver, Colorado. She hired on a wagon train because she had heard that black people were experiencing freedoms in Colorado that they did not have in other locations. She saw this. She saw the beauty of that vision, and she was willing to do what was necessary. Now, she had operated a business before. She had a laundry business and did quite well and could have purchased a ticket on the stagecoach to go to Colorado. But she found that the color of her skin prevented that from happening. Nobody would sell her a ticket, even though she had the money. We sometimes talk about the value of money, but she saw opportunity there, and there was no price too steep to pay for that chance, the very chance. Understand that the dreams and other inspirations that we have come from our God, our Creator, the person that made us, the person that does not make junk. Now, we can use all of the words and phrases that we want, But we have to believe them internally. Talk is cheap. We can say any and everything, and often that's what we are. We're no more than a zephyr breeze when it comes to implementation of our ideas. Just a soft, gentle breeze that does not push us far enough in the direction that we want to go. Who controls that? Who controls how far, how strong the wind is at your back? You do. Yes, you do. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. And I don't want you to take that literally, because when I say man, I'm talking about all of humankind. We have a level of thought that separates us from many animals, or so we think. There are some that are determined, and we see that in many cases we have not realized what happens. We see examples sometimes of animals that are determined and use tools. They use a certain form of intellect. Now, if a bird or some other creature can realize this, what in the world is preventing us from doing the same? We find that in some cases birds will pick up an object such as an oyster or something else and fly to great heights and let it fall to the ground and crack open and be able to find nourishment there. This is not something that we normally attribute to what we call dumb animals. We are not dumb animals. When we look at Mumbet, Mumbet was a slave in, I believe, Massachusetts or somewhere in those states that we normally don't think about as having had slaves. But there have been slaves all over this country. It did not take off like it did in the South. But Mumbet, although denied an education, and I want you to understand this point very, very clearly. We sometimes confuse intelligence with education. We sometimes confuse intelligence with education. We sometimes think that if we have not finished high school, that we don't have intelligence, and that is wrong, because how did we get to this point if we didn't profit from standing on the shoulders of other people? Other people have ideas. Some of the, excuse the word, but dumbest people that I've ever run across had strings of letters behind their names. They could do well academically. But in a real world, in a real situation, they did not have that muscle of determination. This is what I'm telling you that you have. And sometimes it requires going beyond what people sometimes realize. When we look at our religious beliefs sometimes, there is not a way of proving some of these things in an absolute scientific manner. I believe that is what carries me forward. I use it in so many ways. I don't come on and talk a bunch of Bible verses, but believe me, I have Bible verses behind me. My point of view is different. My motivation is to inspire and motivate you to be the best that you can be. The best that you can be. I'm not disparaging anybody, but I think sometimes we feel that quoting the Bible is everything. Quoting the Bible is not. Living the Bible, being able to tell people about that is, in my opinion, the greatest thing that we can do. And we can do it in so many ways. I never saw myself in a pulpit because it just didn't fit my personality. But I started off at a very young age believing. And I remember the time that I decided to make that, join the church, be baptized. There are people listening to me that are on the same journey that I took. Some acknowledge, some don't. Some will find out later. Some may never find out. But even as we become stronger in the faith, and I say stronger because many times, people make that public confession and they expect everything to suddenly flow their way. I had a foster son, loved him dearly. And I remember him calling one time, and I tried to talk him about many things because he was starting a family, but he wanted to be in that prison environment and have people pay so that he could talk to them about nothing. I remember him calling one time saying that he was now a believer. He was going to be a preacher. And that was words. That was that soft, zephyr breeze. It feels comforting, but it's not getting you anywhere. Now, some people can take that same breeze and turn it into a hurricane, a hurricane that is directed, a strong force. What is the difference? It's your attitude. It's your belief in yourself. I have been approached by Toastmasters about helping start a brand new club. And it's essentially a prison club. And I remember the words that say, you visited me while I was in prison. Many people look down at anybody that's ever been convicted of anything with great pity. But I don't. I see within these people a need for guidance, a need for love, a need of developing self-respect. And that's exactly why I'm talking with you. Not that I'm equating you with them or vice versa, because I see everybody on the basis of their potential. I know that I am talking to people that suffer some form of handicap. That does not deter me one bit. I have a grandson that I admire because of what he has accomplished and what he will accomplish. He's a paraplegic. He has very limited use of his extremities, his legs. So he doesn't walk. I can see that his legs are atrophying because they don't get the same use that we get. But he is inspired. Nothing gets in his way. One of the posts that we're going to look at this month, because it's dedicated to women, is Haben Girma. Her parents came from Ethiopia and Eritrea, countries in Africa. They came here, and she is afflicted in two major ways, legally deaf and legally blind. Go to AmazingBlackHistory.com and look her up. H-A-B-E-N-G-I-R-M-A, I believe is the way that it is spelled. And you see a person who was born normal but had a condition that gradually took away both senses. Now, why is this important? Because we sometimes believe that if we don't have full use of our hands, our arms, our eyes, our ears, or anything else, that we are somehow substandard. But once you look at the contributions that she's made, once you look at what she has been given, and I'm not taking anything away from her because I admire her greatly. When you see the videos of her talking, it sounds artificially high. a high range, very high voice. Why? Because she is legally deaf, which means that she doesn't hear well enough to be considered a hearing person. But she has some hearing in upper ranges. So in order for her to even hear what she's saying, she has to speak much higher than other people. She's also legally blind. But what we find today is that technology is running ahead of us, and we need to pursue it. And I don't mean that you have to be a techie, but you wonder how she is able to communicate. Like I said, she has a voice. You can hear it. And she has intelligence, which is the most important thing here. But she also has degrees. She has a degree from, I believe it's Lewis and Clark in Portland, Oregon, very well-respected school. And she also has her law degree from Harvard University, a well-respected university in this country, one of the most highly respected in this country. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't take my words and lead them astray, because I think that there are some great HBCUs, for example. And the reason that we even have them is because we were not welcomed into other institutions. They're people that I talk about, and they take what some people would consider a mountain, and in their point of view, with the vehicle that they are driving, which is their brain, it's only a speed bump, a minor inconvenience. When we talk about James McCoon Smith, who wanted to be a doctor and found that no institution in America would accept him, not because he lacked intelligence, lacked brain power, lacked ambition, but because of something as frivolous as the color of his skin. When we go back now and look at ancient people, and we are able to, through DNA, determine what they were, and I don't mean it as a put-down, who they were, we find that in many cases, people had dark skin. I've talked about the Cheddar Man 10,000 years ago. He was the ancestor of Europeans and had dark skin, dark hair, had blue eyes. How do we know this? Because of advances in science. Now, what does that have to do with you? Are looking at lawn care, landscaping. We sometimes put those people down, and we don't know when we look at a person what they have. Many of these people have degrees, but they are doing something that they enjoy, that they prefer, and they are just as successful as other people are. God put you on this earth for a purpose. He gave you an ability. And what I want to hang in here while I describe this, if I were to tell you that there's a horse in your house, the first thing that you're going to do is think I am crazy, because a horse cannot be in your house. Well, some people, because I've seen some very, very strange things in my many years in law enforcement. So while it is unusual, it doesn't 100% mystify me. But when I bring in a box that has a screen on it, I can go to different channels. I can bring a horse in. I can bring a cobra in. I can bring in any critter. Now, you think that that TV is smarter than you are, but I think we can tune in to the universal frequency, the one that gives us the ideas in the first place. When we look at what we have, we often don't see it. Now, let me go back to Clara Brown. Clara Brown went to Colorado. And she went there with the purpose of operating a laundry. Her first job was at a bakery there, and she finally established her laundry business. And the people that she was washing and ironing and repairing clothes for were miners. And she became very, very rich. And I can imagine one of the things that separated her from other people that may have been doing the same thing. If I can imagine she finding her own personal gold mine, how would that work? Well, for one thing, the people whose clothes she is watching, is washing, mending, and providing services for are gold miners. They've been rubbing up next to gold in those clothes for days, weeks, months even. What does that have to do with you then? What happens is small particles are in those clothes. When she washes them and sets them free, there are fine particles of gold in the bottom of that wash water. Now, we think that you have to be a mining engineer to discover this. Whether she learned this in school or whether somebody told her about it, I think that that may have been one of her secrets, that she was patient enough to recover that went down. All you have to do is allow this to settle. Most people don't realize that gold is heavier than lead. And if you've had a chance to pick up a lead brick, for example, damn how much it weighs. Now, I used lead brick not because I was a plumber, but because we were shielding ourselves from radioactive rays, beta and gamma, alpha you can shield with a sheet of paper. But she took advantage of what she had. And sometimes that is the difference between success and failure when we start measuring nothing but economic things. We have people that have been enormously successful, maybe not in the financial thing, but in the happiness area. The happiness area. I can imagine you, let's say as a church leader, I know that when I go to church, I rejoice when people join because I think that we're playing a part in their lives that accomplish a lot for them, a lot for them. And I can imagine being there and welcoming somebody into the fold. The most difficult time for a Christian is immediately after you've made that change, made that public acknowledgement, acknowledged to yourself that, yes, something is here. Because it takes courage to walk to the front of the church. Maybe there's another way that you can join. But when you have convinced yourself that this is the way to go, and as soon as you leave that church, where are you? You're back with the same friends, and you see them day in and day out. And they have, because they are not true believers, a way of bringing you down. This is what happens with your dreams. And I'm going to give you an antidote. I'm going to give you a cure. I'm going to give you a way to find success among this morass of drag you downs. That is to change the amount of time that you spend with those people. There are some people that you have that are friends that you almost dread when they call because you know that you're going to feel worse after talking to them than you did before. Even when you're down, they can bring you further down. Am I saying that you have to cut them completely off? No. That is not the case. But what I find is something that carried me through my childhood that I didn't even recognize I had until much, much, much later. I had imaginary friends. I had friends that I could sit down and talk with. I don't mean that I had to talk out loud, but I would have a mental conversation with them. Let's take, for example, George Washington Carver. All I heard was that he developed peanut butter, which is not true, because there were indigenous people in this part of the world that were using peanuts for food. They were grinding them. They were making other products out of them. George Washington Carver was a scientist. And we look at the products that he made. We see that they don't have anything to do with peanut butter. But he was a visionary of sorts. He was a soil scientist. And what was happening is people were growing cotton as if it were going out of style. The land, when they got there, was fertile. But cotton has a way of drawing the nutrients out of the soil to the point where they become poor. Peanuts, for example, reverse that because they put nitrogen back into the soil. Manure puts nutrients back into the soil. And there are people on this continent and on other continents that can trace their roots back. And we find that they have been able to maintain sustainable societies that did not deplete it. Now, how was Washington any different, Carver any different than anybody else? There was an encroachment of boll weevils. Boll weevil is a weevil that bores into the cotton boll and essentially destroys its productivity. It eats itself in, and thereby destroying the crop, essentially. Not much produce coming out of there. It was moving through America, and it was encroaching at about 100-plus miles per year. If we had the ability to use satellites back then, we would have seen it. But most people were so happy with making the money that they were making. And it was tons of money compared to what other people were making. 2% of the people in this country owned slaves and produced cotton and were responsible for over half of all of the money generated in the Americas, including all of the factories, the railroads, and everything else that we identify with industrial society. That's where it came from. He gave people the secret to life in a way. Because what he did is said, let's plant sweet potatoes. Let's plant peanuts. These crops were not affected by the boll weevil. And even in a year when nothing else worked, you had something to eat. That was part of the genius that he had with them. But when you look at the products that he made soaps, he made shaving creams, he made paint, he made floor coverings, he made coffee substitutes. He was an organic chemist of sorts. And if you go to Tuskegee Institute, please visit the museum dedicated to him, because you will see fine things that he has crocheted and other artwork. In fact, when he went to college, it was not to study botany. It was because he had a love of art and piano. And he had a scholarship to Highland College. And when he had got there, they said, yeah, we gave you a scholarship, but we didn't know you were black. What does that have to do with anything if you can produce? And so many of us hide behind that excuse. Not necessarily that we're black, but maybe that we're Native American. Maybe we're from the country of India, Turkey, or somewhere else. That should not be an excuse. The excuse should be, I can overcome the difficulties. I can start my own business. I can work my way up to a particular point. When we look at Robert Smith, many of us, the name is strange. Robert Smith is a black billionaire with a B. It can be done. We look at people like Oprah Winfrey and others that have taken control of their life. we can look at it. We can do it. When we look at a comedian such as Byron Allen, who owns the Weather Channel, who owns, excuse me, the Weather Channel, he is still, in a way, able to use his comedic talents. He has programs that run on TV today. And we oftentimes don't see us in fulfilling those roles. We can write books. We can do anything that we want to. Let's go back to the lawn care guy. That person can write a book as well. I don't write well. There are ways around that. You can tell your story to a ghostwriter. I have a cousin, Ricky, who has a book out and is doing successful with it. He was not the writer, but he had stories, and he found a person I talked to last month, yeah, because that was February. I spoke to a group and was introduced to the lady that helped him write his book. They spent time together, and it got done. To those people that don't have an English degree, and I'm one of those people, unfortunately, and while I'm sure that there are people that go through the work that I produce and are very critical of it from the standpoint of English usage, I find that there is something that is more meaningful to me than perfection. Yes, I strive for perfection, and I miss it. But I find that done is better than perfect. So many of us don't make progress, and I want you to hear this. So many of us don't make progress because we want it to be perfect. That is a bane on success. It drags you down because you can write something today, and it can be absolutely wonderful, and you come back tomorrow, and you can spend all day editing it. And it may not even be as good once you've edited as it was the first time you wrote it. It may or may not be. But we have to understand that out of failure comes success. Out of failure comes success. We talk about doing something over and over and over again. Let us take a magician. They rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse because they, in many cases, have a redirection that they are doing. They're taking advantage. It's not true magic. They don't make things they mind into thinking that they are. Some of them are wonderful at their performances. And I think it's remarkable, but they make complicated things simple. And that's what we have to do on our road to success. Talk to these people. See what goes on. When we look at George Washington Carver, when he was denied admittance to the school, now understand that in order to finish high school, he had to go 10 miles away from his home to get an education. When he got all that they had, he moved even further away. But he was interested in knowing. He was going down a different path. But he found acceptance at Simpson College. And he was told that by white people that admired the work that he was doing at the time. Now, during that period of time, he homesteaded 17 acres of land, built a house, a sod house, and raised crops on these 17 acres so that he could finance his college education. At Simpson College, what did he find out? He found out that he could enroll. He majored in art and piano, and a well-meaning instructor came to him. Said, George, you're great at this. You're absolutely fantastic. And if you go to Tuskegee, look at some of the paintings this man has done. He didn't have money for paint supplies. He didn't have money for brushes. He had to make them all. And he was passionate about it. And it showed in his work. And she said, George, I don't think a black man can make a living in art and piano. But you are passionate about this aspect. And her husband worked at Iowa State. Iowa is not a state that we often think of as having many, if any, black people in it. There are some, as we, not on this program, but in a future program, we'll talk about on Clara Brown, who we spoke of earlier. He went there. He earned a degree. Now, the person that had talked him into applying at Simpson College, he kept in contact with. He wrote. He surrounded himself with people. Now, understand that when he went to Simpson College, he couldn't eat in the cafeteria. They didn't allow him. He had to eat in the kitchen. He couldn't stay in the dormitory. They had a shed that he had to fix up. And I may have the school wrong. I don't remember where it was, Iowa State or at Simpson, where this particular event happened. But he told her about some of these things, complaining, but just telling her about it. She went to visit him and asked about it, and they said, well, yeah, but he has to eat in the kitchen. She said, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. Fine, I'll eat wherever he eats. I don't think he had to do that after that. Sometimes people can stand up by standing by their principles. They don't realize the power in what happened. If she had not done that, there are many people that followed in essentially the footsteps of George Washington Carver that may be eating in the kitchen today, although they are leading scientists. But we must follow that passion, take jobs because it is a increased opportunity. He took the job at Tuskegee because it was an increased opportunity. It was not a financial success. He actually took a pay cut to go to Tuskegee, but he understood what he could do. That was his passion. His passion was in helping people. And when he passed away, he left a huge sum of money to the institution of Tuskegee. A huge sum of money to Tuskegee. That's where his heart was. That's where he wanted to do. So you can do whatever it is that you want to do. Must drive ourselves. We must convince ourselves that we are a product of our God and we are endowed. We go back. And we can find anything on that box that we want. I remember a time when people were talking about flat screen TVs. You could put it on the wall. And people thought whoever was saying that was absolutely out of their ever-loving mind. Because if you've ever seen an old TV, it's heavy, it's cumbersome, it's big and bulky. And to talk about being able to put one on the wall had people thinking you were absolutely bug nuts. Not so. We take what is given to us from God. We tune in to those stations which guide us forward. We are God's gift to himself. He loves to see us take the challenge. He loves to see us fight off what some people consider a mountain and turn it into nothing more than a speed bump and go through. I think that he celebrates every time we are able to understand his contribution to our life. He's not going to tell us, don't do this because that is stupid. Sometimes we have to go down that road. Like I said, right now, I am looking at working with prisoners. Call them what you want. But I don't see them as prisoners. I see them as people that have made a wrong turn in their life. Some of them even haven't done that. Some of them were just the product of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we must realize that as individuals, when you were in prison, yes, I visited you. I think I have something that I can contribute to them. And I think it's the same thing that I can contribute to you. And that is getting you to understand that within you, the decisions that you make are the ones that drive you. The decisions that are that you make are what makes you who you are. If your idea of success is sitting in front of the TV eating a giant bowl of potato chips or popcorn or something else, what is that going to do? Does it advance your career? Does it advance your dreams? No. Dreams are what move us forward. If we didn't have dreams, we wouldn't even have TV. We wouldn't even have radio. We'd be in a cave somewhere trying to avoid being eaten by a saber-toothed tiger or some other ferocious animal. It is our mind and our mindset. And we go to, that's why we spend time. We cannot be once-a-week Christians or once-a-week whatever we are. I sometimes see Muslims. I have not chosen to go that route, but I admire their devotion. When I first came around members of the Latter-day Saints, there were some things about them that I admired. Their time with families, avoidance of alcohol, caffeine, some other things that I saw. It did not fit me. I didn't think that that was me, but I don't hold any grudges against them. Certainly, I do not. I have friends that I developed when I first went there, and that's over 50 years ago. We don't focus on things that don't matter. My cousins, I have a family that's very devout Baha'i. I am not. But I love them just the same. We can talk. We can sit down. We can discuss differences. This is what mature people do. When we look at what took place last month my focus was on black riots and massacres. And we see how people were indiscriminately killed. Now we look at Hamburg, South Carolina, which is down near Aiken. There was a prosperous black community there, and these people wanted to vote. The whites did not want them to vote. They had fought in the Confederacy. They banded together afterwards. Birds of a feather flocked together. As the blacks gathered in the courthouse to vote, these people brought in cannons and fired on the building. Fired on the building. Started a fire. Inside, as black people came out, they were murdered, shot to death. Those that weren't were lynched. No trial, no nothing. We come to a point now because we don't know our history, which means we don't know our roots. We don't know who is the good guy and who is the bad guy. There was a monument erected, not for the 100 people that were killed, fighting for American principles guaranteed under the 14th Amendment, or actually the 15th Amendment. Which side, although it involves death, and I'm not quite ready for that, I stand for those people that were standing on principles rather than those that slaughtered them. But the memorial that was erected didn't go up to honor the 100 people that were murdered for seeking what was theirs. And I think they're in heaven now. The monument went up to the 3 people that were slaughtering them. Does that make any sense? Is that the country that you want to live in? You can make changes in so many different ways. I think that we got things wrong when we went to this integration, because we went into this thing not as equals. One group held that they were superior, that they had the education, they had the knowledge, they had everything that was destined for them. The other side went in subservient. because they did not know who they came from. They did not know their roots. They did not recognize their potential. Just like Claire Brown could wash a pair of jeans, get paid for them, and get more from the dirt that was left in them than the jeans and the labor to clean them was. This is, again, using your mind. When we look at the gold miners, the people that absolutely got rich were the store owners, selling goods and supplies to those people there to strike their riches. I'm not saying that either side was wrong, but sometimes we overlook because we don't understand what we have in our hands. We need to be cognizant. We need to look. We need to talk and tune in to that frequency which guides us towards success. You can consider anything, but sometimes, even in my work as a chemist, I consult George Washington Carver, taking some time. Now, understand, Carver never took a book into his laboratory. Why? He would get up at 4 o'clock every morning, 4 a.m. Some people don't have a 4 a.m. on that clock, but he got up at 4 o'clock. And what did he do? He spent time with his creator. He studied his books. He sought guidance. He sought to move in the direction of that which would help other people realize. Because he is identified with the peanut, and that's a different story, and I hope to tell it to you sometimes. I've done it before, but sometimes we have very short memories. Sometimes we have to go through it again. When asked if he did his greatest work with the peanut, he says no. And if you understand what he did, you will understand why he made that statement, and it is 100% absolute truth. He was working with Ford. When metal was in short supply, they came up with a plastic made out of soybeans that could replace it. They could take that car and hit it with a sledgehammer and not leave a mark on it. These are some of the things that he was capable of. Look at what you're doing and understand what you are capable of. I talked once before about a person in landscaping, and you need employees. But if you had, and I'm not saying that this will work because I have not tried it. I don't know of anybody that has. But if you could get young people, let's say that were motivated to go to school or whatever, and allow them to become somewhat independent, you'd make a ton of money for yourself and them as well. You could go out and smell the fresh cut grass and the newly mown hay, whatever has been there. And smell it, and it smells like success. Smells like success. Find something that people don't like doing and a good way to do it, and you have found a king's ransom, folks. Is it easy? No. Dedication. Being devout in your beliefs also requires that. But when we look at the rewards that come for it, they're worth it. They're worth it. I see a person on a bench in a park, has no place to sleep, cold, hungry, whatever. Sometimes it's beyond the education. Sometimes it's gone to an area of mental health. And we can take that field. We can take any other field. Don't allow your life to intimidate you. Don't allow it to intimidate you. This is what we're looking at today. Now, we're coming up on the hour. We have another program following us at 8 o'clock. I encourage you to pay attention to that particular program. But I'm going to get off at this point, so that that person can come on at 8 o'clock. I want you to be aware that one of the greatest gifts that you have is to have been created by the great creator. creator. I want you to understand that no matter where you stand at this point, that you can get where you want to. You can learn. You can motivate yourself. You can take advantage of other sources and people and whatever. But understand that you are not just a left-handed peanut butter sandwich. You are great in your own right. With that, I invite you to join us on Sunday at 4 p.m. using the same method that you use to contact this program. And we are going to be talking about some black women that we should all know that have overcome consequences. Dr. Alexa Kannady, C-A-N-A-D-Y, fought all of her life and became the first pediatric black female neurosurgeon in America. And with this, but she, like you, refused to give up. That is my message for you this week. Join us again next week. Again, listen to Crown Talking Drums, the other programs. And with that, I want to bid you a fond adieu and hope that we see you Sunday. Hope that we see you again on next Thursday. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed. Good night.